Welcome to Seek Reality with your host, Roberta Grimes. Author and attorney Roberta Grimes will explore and illustrate how she, through her childhood experiences, has discovered channels of communication to the afterlife and how these implications have an effect on our everyday lives. Please welcome the host of Seek Reality, Roberta Grimes.
We've talked about the fact that both mainstream science and mainstream Christianity are just belief systems at this point, because neither anymore is an open-minded search for what is true. So it's going to be up to you and me to figure out what actually is going on. And fortunately, in this century, we have some excellent sources of information, including nearly 200 years of abundant and consistent communications from people we used to think were dead. The study of the greater reality that we all inhabit is a whole new science. It encompasses all of what we now think of as science, plus a great deal more besides. Physicists now understand that what they're studying takes up less than 5% of what even they are sure exists, and the rest is what they call dark matter and dark energy, and they have no idea what all of that is. Well, we do, we afterlife researchers. The greater reality that we study encompasses it all. And like any new field of investigation, this one already has its experts. This week, our guest is the world's leading expert on the greater reality, my dear, wonderful friend, Dr. R. Craig Hogan. Welcome, Craig. I'm so glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here. I very much enjoy talking about the greater reality and talking to you, so this should be a wonderful time.
I think people would like to get to know you a little first. So tell us a little about what you've done. I know this is something you came to relatively late in life, and I hope that encourages other people who are sort of wondering if this is something they can study. It doesn't matter how old you are. This is something you can be learning about now and do a lot with. So how did you get started in this?
Well, it happened to me after half a century. I was about 52 when I started, and I started having things happen to me that showed me that there was something much greater than what I had assumed was there, that you can see with your eyes and your senses. And I had people come to me who were psychics and mediums, and I was learning all kinds of things, and I was drawn into it, and I couldn't resist it. And the more I was drawn into it, the more I discovered that there is a greater reality that's much bigger than we can ever imagine. And it's a wonderful reality because we're part of it and we're central to it. And so that drew me into it, and I've been working on it ever since and dedicating my life to it, and especially to afterlife communication.
So you didn't start thinking, oh, I'm studying the afterlife, right? You sort of just had some psychic type stuff happen to you. What was an example of something that happened that made you know there was a lot more going on?
Well, I went to a psychic among those whom I had met, and I went to her, and she said to me halfway through the reading that I can hold things in my hand and I can read them, so that I should have psychometry ability. And she said, go home and take a deck of cards and hold them in your hand with the faces down so you can't see them. And take one card at a time and put it on the palm of your other hand. If it feels warm, then it's red. If it feels cold, then it's black.
Wow.
And put them into the piles. And so what I did was I went home and I started at with the deck. It was randomly unassorted. And I put a pile of those that felt like they were cold and a pile of those that felt like they were warm. And then I turned them over. And when I turned them over, every one of the ones that were cold were black. And everyone except one of the ones that I turned over that were warm were red. And, well, it kind of freaked me out. You know,
yeah.
I didn't know what to make of this.
Right.
But it drew me into it and showed me that there's much more. And then I read a book by a famous author who was doing remote viewing at the time. And he described how to do remote viewing. So I sat at my computer one evening and got onto a website that has remote viewing, what are called targets, and they're just pictures. And what I did was to find the identification for what the number for the target, but didn't know anything about the target, and just put that into my mind and said, I'd like to see that target. And I started sketching things that were in there, and I looked at the target, and sure enough, that's exactly what it was. So I realized that I had remote viewing ability. But I was drawn to it before I could discover those things. So in other words, something was drawing me into it, and then I discovered that I had psychic abilities, and then it snowballed from there.
It snowballed indeed. Mm-hmm. I first met Craig because he eventually wrote a book, which I recommend to everyone, called Your Eternal Self. It came out in 2008, I believe. And so I wrote my first ever fan mail. I had to meet him because this book summarized so much of what I was trying to understand about what the dead were telling us. I was just riveted by the book. And that was a while, though. This was when you were, it sort of happened in the 90s, right? How did you get to the point where you could actually write a book about all this? Did you take courses?
No, I just delved into it, and every time when I was working out, for instance, I would have cassettes. This is when we still had cassette tapes, and I would listen to cassette tapes from Deepak Chopra and Wayne Dyer, and would listen to all of these cassette tapes, and then I would start to watch YouTubes when the YouTubes came out. And any chance that I had, then I just delved into it and stayed with it. And pretty much that's all that anyone needs to do, because the evidence is there. The reality is there. It's like water that will find its own level. And if somebody just opens their mind and just goes out there and watches the YouTubes and reads about it, listens to people like you when you're doing interviews, if they just have an open mind, they're going to be overwhelmed by the evidence. It's just going to come upon them, and they can't resist it. There's no way to resist it. And so then I was unable to resist it, and that's when I continued and have been working on it ever since, writing books.
Was it shocking to you in the beginning that there was all this information that scientists were not looking at? Did that surprise you and shock you?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I mean, this is crazy. This is craziness. You can't say that there's a greater reality and that people are living there and that all these things are happening that are aside from what we can see and what we know to be true. It just didn't make any sense to me. I couldn't believe it. And I was gradually drawn. It was like inch by inch, and it continued to pull me. And that is the way that it's done. I understand that many people say that. But at the beginning, it just doesn't make sense. It's beyond the boggle.
Right, it is.
Point, you know?
Exactly.
And you just you can't believe it because it's so unusual. But it's still to that point, and I know it is for you too. There are still boggle points. I mean, we're still every day learning something new and saying, "Oh my God."
But it's usually happy boggles.
That, but it is true.
Yes. It's sort of like, oh my goodness, we get to have a birthday party and they give us ice cream. It's the most amazing
thing.
Yeah,
it's like being tickled, you know. Go ahead, tickle me some more.
Yes. I should just remind people, or people who didn't hear us last week, that the reason science is clueless is quite deliberate. It was decided by the gatekeepers, the peer-reviewed journals and the university departments, that they were 100 years ago that they were not going to look at this stuff and they were going to be materialists. And to this day, that dogma, which is what they called it then, they're too sophisticated to call it that now. To this day, that dogma prevents anyone who wants to be a serious scientist from looking at anything but a very tiny part of what is true. That's something you haven't been told, dear readers, dear listeners, but that's what's going on. And what we're going to try to do is break through that. Now, first, Craig, how do we even know that what we're seeing and feeling isn't all there is? How do we know that what scientists are telling us is all there is that's absolutely not true? How can anyone watching or listening us, how can people know that?
Yeah, well, what happened in the 20th century was that the rug got pulled out from under the people who were Newtonian, who believed that everything in the world is what you see and you hear and you smell, you taste and you touch, and that there was something more by quantum mechanics. And quantum mechanics was a wonderful discovery that happened at the beginning of the 20th century and then came to fruition as the 20th century advanced. And what they discovered was that in the quantum world, and the quantum world is the world that is the basis for our world, what we see, in the quantum world, things are crazy. That they don't act the same way that we would expect them to act. A photon, a subatomic particle, can appear in one place and then suddenly disappear and appear someplace else without having gone between the two places. And and if a photon or subatomic particle is split, then it and goes off in opposite directions at the speed of light, and it shouldn't be able to communicate with each other. If you do something to one of those that, as it flies away out to the end of the universe, then the other is affected immediately. So we know that the two of them are linked, even though there seems to be a lot of space between them. And so that pretty well shook everybody up. And and we also know that the photons would only collapse into a reality that we can see or that we can appreciate, we can understand, if we observe them. So that everything in the universe is in a state of just a potential. It could be there. It's a it's like a, an artist's canvas that there's nothing on it, but there are a lot of paints there. And as soon as somebody looks at it, then it all collapses into a wonderful, beautiful painting. And we have reality.
Wow.
So it depends on the observer. We have to be looking at it. And that pretty well shook everybody up. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is...
What's the next thing? Yeah, I want to read a couple. Before we finish this segment, I'll read you a couple of quotations from Max Planck, who received the 1918 Nobel Prize as the father of quantum mechanics, who clearly got what he had discovered and understood its significance. But give us number two. How's another way that we would know?
Okay, number two was also happened in the 20th century. We started learning about what we call the afterlife, but it really is just another realm. So we started learning about when people leave the Earth plane, or they seem to leave the Earth plane, then they go someplace. And we started learning about what that is. And we learned so much about it that we now have roadmaps to what we call the afterlife. And we understand that the place to which people go is an entirely different realm. And there's a reality to it just the same as this. If we were in that other realm, we would think it would look like this. In fact, some people, when they pass away, they think that they're dreaming, and they think that they're going to wake up. And because the other realm is so real. And so through the 20th century, we kept learning more and more about this other realm, this new realm that we call the afterlife. And I keep saying we call it that because it really isn't an afterlife, as though this is life and that's what is the afterlife. It really is, we're on a spiritual plane right now. This reality that we are in is a spiritual reality. It's one plane. And the next plane that we go to is just another spiritual reality. So we're going from one spiritual reality to another spiritual reality. And so the more we learn about that next plane of life, and some people call it Summerland, and then some people call it Level 3, and there are different names for it, but the more we learn about that, the more we realize that realm that's as real as this is just another vibration, just another place, and that means that this realm that we're in right now is a reality that is an impermanent. It is not the substantial reality that we seem to think it is, that there are all kinds of other realities out there, and we're going to be going and exploring those. We're going to be entering those realities.
Yes, living people actually explore them now, which is something that many people don't have any idea about. Mm-hmm. Let's hear what Max said. My dear friend Max, he's the one who discovered that consciousness has to predate matter. I regard consciousness as fundamental, he said. I regard matter as derivative from consciousness. We cannot get behind consciousness. Everything we talk about, everything we regard as existing, postulates consciousness. That came directly out of those experiments you were talking about in quantum mechanics. There's apparently no such thing as matter unless we have consciousness. That's how they collapse the what they call the waves of energy into particles, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. And those waves are just potentials. So in other words, there are many things that could happen. And we might be on the phone now. We might be walking down the street. We might be going to some friend's house. We could be doing all kinds of things. Those are all just potentials. So until we observe it and we make it into a reality, all that there is potentials. Everything out there is a potential. And it's like this huge soup that could be made into anything. But when the observer looks at it, and this is physics, it's not metaphysics, this is science. When the observer looks at it, then it collapses that wave function and makes a single reality, and that's what we experience, and we experience that in the now. The now is where we collapse reality into what we're experiencing right now.
Yeah, and it's really, we're going to talk a lot more in future weeks, and we'll of course have Craig back. I think you're going to be kind of a sidekick for me here, because so much of what you know, I think we all need to share. But one of the things that we're going to try to do is help people really get their minds around what we're learning, which is so different from what we learned in school. It's so different from what science tells us now. 1944, Max said, as a man who has devoted his whole life to the most clear-headed science, to the study of matter, I can tell you as a result of my research about atoms this much. This is a big one, drum roll. There is no matter as such. All matter originates and exists only by virtue of a force which brings the particle of an atom to vibration and holds this most minute solar system of the atom together. We must assume behind this force the existence of a conscious and intelligent mind. This mind is the matrix of all matter. That was said by arguably the greatest or second greatest scientist of the 20th century. I mean, when we look at that, how is it possible for us to believe that mainstream scientists to this day consider materialism to be their fundamental dogma? I guess I'm not sure where we go with that, except to say we're going to have to come up with a way, and Craig is going to be able to tell us in another segment what it will be, to shame scientists into getting past the notion that they need a dogma in order to investigate the truth. Okay, Craig, now that we know that what we're looking at really isn't real in the sense we've always thought it was, not solid, and that there's a lot more going on, how can we begin to understand what that is? What is reality, in effect? Can you tell us that or help us understand it?
Mm-hmm. What reality is, what we know reality is what we experience. So what we can say definitely is that I think, therefore, I am. It is the right. Fact that what we experience is what we really know to be true. So this is reality. The experience is reality. But then the other part of reality is that there has to be somebody who is the experiencer. So we have to have somebody out there who's having the experiences. So we know that the mind or the eternal self is real, and we know that the experiences are real. So we have to start from there, and that has to become the basis for what we say about what reality is. Then we can't go too far away from that. And, you know, it is true that science and religion have gone very far away from that. They've gone very far away from the experience, and they've gone into asserting things about the reality that they can't assert. For instance, they can't assert that psychic activity doesn't exist. They can't assert that survival of consciousness, that we go to the afterlife, and they can't assert that we don't go to the afterlife. Those things they can't assert because they go beyond what it is that they can say. They have to stay with their experience. So what we can say about reality is that reality is experience, and so right now we are having experiences on the earth plane. But we can also say that we hear from the people on the other side who are in another realm, and they describe their reality, and they're saying they're having experiences, and they're different experiences of a different reality. And so then that is reality. That's their reality on their vibration. We have a reality on our vibration. And so when we talk about what is reality, all we can really say is our reality is that we're having experiences. We are the eternal selves. We are the minds, and we're having experiences here on the earth plane. And we will have experiences on the next plane that we go to, and experiences on other types of planes. And that's what we can say about reality. Reality is each one of those experiences that we as eternal beings are having that are teaching us things. We are right now in Earth school, and we're learning things. And that is our reality right now, and we're focused on that reality.
Now, is it safe to say that nothing is solid in the way we've always thought of things as being solid? But on the other hand, even in the other realities that we enter at death, it's just as solid there as it is here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right. And, of course, on this reality, we know that the atom, if the atom were a size of a baseball, that the core, the nucleus of the atom were the size of a baseball, that the electrons would be spinning 20 miles away, that the
right.
atoms are mostly empty space. And
right.
we also know the fact that we don't even touch things, that When we sit on something, the electrons repel each other. So the electrons in our body repel the electrons on the chair, but they never touch each other. They never really come together. They just repel each other, and that's what we feel. So what we believe to be real or what we believe to be solid and substantial really isn't so. And we also know the fact that we can have real experiences, in other words, the same kinds of experiences that we have of the earth plane. We can see things. We can hear things. We can hear things purely through the mind without having the body right. involved at all. And yes. We can do that in remote viewing. We can do that through psychic ability. We can do that through the Monroe Institute's activities with the Hemisync. There are many ways that we can do that. And so that what we realize then is that the body is not necessary to have experiences. And then since the reality is experiences and the eternal self or the mind, then since we can do that without the body, that means that this reality that we're in right now is just a temporary, that it's part of the scenery. And yes. the real drama is going on with our minds and our experiences.
Yeah, I think it's important to sort of orient ourselves a little bit. You're not in your body. Your brain is nothing more than a two-way radio in the head of a meat robot. This reality is not where you actually are, but you think you're here because the signal that is your mind is being picked up and then signal is being sent back. But as far as we are able to determine, your mind actually is part of the mind, capital M, that Max Planck discovered, that continuously brings forth this universe. Didn't start it a long time ago and then let it go, but continuously is adjusting it and keeps it in existence. That's the best way we're able to kind of understand. Right, Craig, do you have something to add to that so people sort of orient themselves?
That's absolutely right. That what we are experiencing here, this reality is made for us. It's a personal universe. So
each
one of us is the focal point. We're the stars. You know, we're the ones who are on stage. There is the scenery, and we are the stars of this drama because what's happening is that this world is created for us to grow. This is Earth School. It's in here that we learn how to be compassionate, how to be loving, and we should be going through this life with love, joy, and peace. So we should be loving other people. We should be just happy every day to awaken, and we should have peace with all other people and peace within ourselves. That's what it's meant to be. And the only reason it isn't that is because of the fact that humankind has had such a focus on materialism, on the belief that this reality is the material universe, and that once you die, you're done. That's it. That's all there is. There's been such a focus on that people now live in fear. There's a lot of greed, self-absorption, a materialistic feeling like you got to get all you can get out of this life, and that's not the way that it should be. That's not the way it has to be. And if they realize that their reality is really different, they are eternal beings. We are eternal beings having a physical experience, and we can, during this time, have love, joy, and peace every day, all day long.
Well, so I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but it sounds to me as if what you're saying is that when the gatekeepers of mainstream science, the peer-reviewed journals and the university departments decided 100-odd years ago that they didn't want to have to deal with anything beyond quantum physics at the moment, thank you, when they decided that, they basically consigned us to this very negative situation we're in now, right? That was
yes,
a mistake.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was,
well,
and it was out of fear.
That's pretty tragic, yes.
Mm-hmm. It is drastic, and it was out of fear. So because they're part of that, they are fearful. Oh, you know, they've got their jobs, and they've got their places in the institutions, and if they don't understand anything that goes beyond that, then they'd have to start as freshmen again. And they'd have to, and other people would know more than they would, and they would lose their grant. And so that's very scary for them. So it's out of fear that they have banded together, and they have agreed, and not necessarily agreed by saying, okay, we're going to put together an agreement and everybody sign it, but agreeing by just performing that they're not going to talk about this.
I mean, okay, so we're living our lives, and we think the wall is solid, and we think there's, you know, life ends, and we think all of that. So, Craig, why do we need to know any more than that?
Yeah, it really is important. And what I liken it to is it's as though we had walked into a room when we came into this life. And we walk into a room, it looks like a waiting room, and so we sit and we wait. And many people wait their whole lives, and nobody comes in to do anything with them. Nobody comes in to take care of them. And they sit there, and unfortunately, just nothing ever happens for them. And the reason that they don't is because they don't realize that when we walk through that door, we are the person that everybody's waiting for. We are the person that we're waiting for. We are the person who's in charge. And we're the person who does the work, and we are going to be helping ourselves to feel love, joy, and peace in our lives. And all we have to do to have that love, joy, and peace is to go and get it. We are completely in control of our lives, and what that means is that we may have things happen to us. You know, we may have things that are what we believe to be tragedies happen to us, and everybody has somebody we lose because they've left the earth plane early. And those are real grief-stricken tragedies that we experience. But the way that we handle our lives and what we do with our lives and how much we enjoy our lives is entirely dependent upon us. I have a friend of mine who right now is stuck because he's in a bad marriage, and they're staying together, and they've been together for years, and they just bicker with each other all of the time.
Oh.
And what's going on is that he doesn't understand. He can't stand up and look around and see that he's got more to his life than that, and so he can't get out of that system. But he is in control, and he could take care of that, and he could remove himself from it, and he could go on to learn the lessons that he needs to learn, and to live the life that he was destined to learn to live. And all he has to do is to go about it and do it. Now, when we realize that we are eternal beings having a physical experience, that's empowering, because that tells us that we're in charge. We're the people who can make it happen, because we are experiencing this right now, and everything that happens is in our control, and we are the masters of our destiny, and we can make of our lives what we want to make of them. But this knowing that we are in a greater reality, that we are more than just these bags of flesh, gives us the
yes.
opportunity to do that. It gives us the courage
yes.
to do that.
Yes, absolutely. And we create, and you've touched on this, but I'd like to just mention it a little more distinctly, because it's a new concept for a lot of people. Your mind is part of the mind that continuously brings forth this universe. It's very, very powerful. So you are literally creating the reality that you see around you. And if you don't like what you're seeing, if you can change the way you feel about it, you'll change what you see. I think that's... Don't you agree, Craig? I mean, that's kind of the core reason right now for people to want mm-hmm. to know about more about this stuff, so that their minds will feel empowered enough to change what, as you point out, can be dead-end traps of our own making.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to us to fix it. If it's broken, we have the power to fix it. Say more about
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah, and we can have love, joy, and peace in our lives, and all we have to do is take control and do it. And we also have help, and we have to realize that we have guides, helpers, and our loved ones who are only a thought away. They are right next to us. They are with us, and they are helping us in this process. And that if we will simply open ourselves up and allow ourselves to consider other alternatives, to look at options, that they will help us, they will guide us, and we can get out of the systems that we're in. So that if we're, for instance, depressed, then we don't need to get out and get undepressed. And we do that
right.
by becoming mindful to what is making us depressed. What is it that's creating a problem? And when we do that, we're going to get help from the other side. We're going to get help from our guides. And the more that we live our lives knowing that we are empowered, that we can make of our lives what we want to make of it, and then that we have people helping us from the other side, the more we are capable, the more we're able to take charge. Because by taking charge in small instances, we grow ourselves into being able to take charge in larger instances, and we grow in our ability to listen, to hear them as they help us from the other side. And then as our lives progress, that can go from that depression into joy, from disturbance into peace, and from feeling of being unloved to being loved. And all of that is entirely in our control if we just take the first step and get out of the system that we're in. And the fact is that science and medicine and the religions are trying to keep us in that system. They're trying to keep us in the box. And as long as they can keep us in the box and they can profit from it, and they can advance their own interests. But if we then we come out of that and we assert ourselves with the capabilities that we have, then we can change our lives and we can have different lives, the kinds of lives we were meant to live. But we do have to deny them. We have to assert ourselves against them and say, we know we're not going to go with that. We're not going to believe that that's true for our lives, and then go to the direction that we are led to go.
Yeah, I think it's important to understand the fact that since the only thing that exists is consciousness, which is what my dear friend Max Planck discovered more than 100 years ago, and consciousness turns out to have a range of vibrations from the lowest, which is fear, to the highest, which is love. We have the power to raise our personal vibration and change our experience to an absolutely incredible degree. All we need to do is learn how to do it and seize on it. In my experience, when people truly understand that our minds are eternal, we can't die, we can't lose awareness, we are truly eternal, I think that changes everything. Don't you think so, Craig?
Yeah, it changes all of the rules of the game. So our entire life and everything that we believe to be true and about ourselves and about other people changes, and then we have the opportunity to go anywhere we want, and we can go straight towards love, joy, and peace. But we have to just make a decision to do that. So we have to reject some of the old things that we were taught. We have to reject the idea that we have to get everything that we can, that we have to get the great job and make a lot of money so that we can buy things. And, you know, the schools teach us to be consumers. And so once we graduate from schools, then we become good consumers. You go to school to get a job is what they say to you. And what we have to do is we have to reject all of that and say, no, that's not the way I'm going to live. What I'm going to do is I'm going to love other people. I'm going to find somebody to love today. Today is my destiny. I'm just going to find somebody that I can give an outpouring of love to, and I'm going to do it. And I can have peace. You know, that person that I have such difficulties with, I know that because of the fact that I am in charge, I am an eternal being. I'm having an earthly experience in Earth School. But I'm in charge, and so I can go to that person, and I can just sit down with them and talk to them and show them that I really regard them highly, and I can have peace with them, and I can have joy in my life. You know, I can have the people around me who are joyful. I can avoid things that will make me unhappy, and I can avoid the television programs that make me unhappy and the news that makes me unhappy, and anything that makes me unhappy in my life. So I'm in control. And when we realize that we're eternal beings having a physical experience, then we know that we can do all of that. And all we have to do it is just go there. Just take the first step and make it happen.
Yeah, my experience has been this. I now know quite a few people who really understand that their minds are eternal. You have never seen a happier bunch of people in your life than the people who really get it, because it turns your life from a tragedy to a comedy. If you don't know that your mind is eternal, and the minds of all the people you love are eternal, then your life is full of tragedies. I mean, if you don't get this or that job, as you point out, Craig, or this or that amount of money, then your life is ruined. Or if you lose a loved one, oh, that's terrible. And then as you get older, as you and I both are, you start thinking, oh, I'm about to blink out like a light. I cannot imagine a more dismal way to live than that. And it's not necessary. The fact that science tells you that you're going to blink out is all by itself the biggest indictment of science I can imagine, because it's just not true. When you get that you will not die, you'll never die. Death for you is impossible. It just makes you so happy. It gets rid of all the tragedies of your life and makes it fun. So what Craig is saying isn't that we should do these things. It's that we're going to want to do these things. It changes what's important in your life from the material stuff to the stuff that you really get to take with you, the love, the peace, the happiness. Don't you think that's the real difference?
And Joseph Campbell said, what we need to do in our lives is follow your bliss. Follow your bliss.
Yes.
And what happens is that when we go on this path and we realize that we're eternal beings and that we are, everyone around us is one mind with us, then following our bliss means that our bliss is to do things for people. Our bliss is to love. Our bliss is to have joy. And so then following our bliss, just doing what is going to be natural for us in our lives changes. And when our lives change like that, then we are different people, and that means the people around us become different people. We are raising the vibrations. We're raising the energy of all of humankind with every kind of act that we do. It's being raised by that amount. And then we are also raising our families by doing kind things, by doing loving things, by being loving. We're raising our cities. We're raising our nations. And eventually we'll raise all of humankind. But we have to do that one individual at a time. Everybody has to understand these truths. And if we all begin to understand these truths, then we're going to be so busy trying to find other people that we can love and that we can do things for that we never need to worry about whether we're going to have anything done for us, because people are going to be rushing to do things for us too. That it will be a different world.
This is what's going to really make a difference in the world. We're going to talk about this extensively in other hours, how the fact that our minds are all part of one eternal mind will mean that we can do everything. Everything that that just you and I together can change the world. It's going to be remarkable. And there's something else, though, that I think we have to do, and fairly quickly, and that is that we've got to kick the pins out from under the scientific materialist illusion. And we're going to do that in a way which is going to make it so embarrassing for them that they will have to start looking at this stuff. And that is really going to be, and it's not, we aren't the ones doing it, of course, it's the dead who are doing it. But one of the things that's going to happen fairly soon is we're going to be communicating with the dead a lot better. Now, the way that we communicate now is primarily through mediums, right, Craig? That's mm-hmm. been historically something that it was easy for science to sort of look at. I'd rather ignore and not look at. So what, how are we going forward? Okay, give us just a taste. We'll be talking about this later on in another month or so anyway. But what is going to embarrass them enough that they're going to have to start looking at this stuff?
Yeah, we are going to be having communication with them electronically. We're already doing that right now. We are speaking with the teams on the other side. We're uniting parents with their children on the other side by having them record on a plain PC, just an ordinary PC. And the children from the other side are being led by what are called stations. And the stations are very important, and that's something we will have to talk about later. But that they are arranging to have people come through. And when they arrange to have people have come through, then we record. And then the parents on this side can listen to the messages from their children on the other side. So when this is refined, and it's becoming refined now, when this is refined, this will demonstrate to all of people, but especially to the scientific community, that in fact we can communicate with those who are living on other realms, and that they are not dead in the sense that they have somehow blinked out of existence. That they are very much alive, and they're living their lives there and very happily. And that's what will make a difference for humankind.
And we'll be talking about that in just a few weeks, so stay tuned. But for now, please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being, and you are infinitely loved.
This has been Seek Reality with your host, Roberta Grimes. Tune in each week and discover the nature of reality and God, past, present, and future, in a way that can only be told by Roberta Grimes on the next episode of Seek Reality.